It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. Joining me tonight, second time around, special guest Chris Travers from the Dominican Republic. And good to hear, Chris, that no real damage, at least to you guys. Unfortunately, Puerto Rico took it pretty hard. But yeah, I mean, that's good to hear there. And thanks again for doing this. Both Ed and Mike were tied up and couldn't do the show tonight.
Oh,
so
it's my pleasure.
You're two for two, pinch hitting at the last minute. I appreciate it.
Storm and all. No,
that's right. Yeah, so let's dig in. It's probably safe to say that with most of ND Nation, the question mark surrounding Brian Kelly is going to be a game-to-game thing. And, you know, certainly going into Saturday night, under the lights, big game at Michigan State, you could argue this is, you know, this is a big game for Brian Kelly. Could be arguably a must-win. I think that at the beginning of the season we were talking the over-under on Brian Kelly was 8. And if he does win 8 games, which means he lost 4, not counting the bowl game, then it becomes, okay, well, how did you lose those 4? Because if you weren't competitive, that's a totally different 8-4 than what we've seen that happened to the team last year, where we were in every single game, came down to the last possession, we just didn't pull it off. So that being the case, I mean, clearly this is a very big game. The line right now is Notre Dame by 3, and I think that makes sense if you look at the product on the field. You got Michigan State very young defensively on the corners. Pretty strong up front 7. So, you know, they should cause some problems for our running game. But when it's all said and done, you line these guys up man-to-man, Irish probably have an edge in the talent department and look like they should be a 3-point favorite. Would you pretty much agree with that?
Yeah, I think I would agree with almost everything that you said there, with the exception of the front 7 for Michigan State, which I can get back to in just a second. And it's also pretty ironic that, you start the show mentioning the comments about the weather. Because I actually think that the way that the trajectory of how our seasons are going to go out, how ND Nation views Brian Kelly right now is very much like the weather. It is a game-to-game type evaluation, as you pointed out. And I also, you know, before we get back to the front 7 thing, I also think that it's interesting to look at Mike D'Antonio and Brian Kelly, where they are today, as opposed to where they were in 2010 when they first met. And both of them stand on much less solid footing right now than where they were in 2010. Granted, they were both in a honeymoon phase. You know, they were both new coaches.
Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
To their program. Now I think both of them share a lot of similarities. And when you say, you know, you said before that this is virtually a must win, I kind of agree. I think that if Notre Dame doesn't win this game, then I think that Brian Kelly stands on much thinner ice than...
Oh, yeah. It's going to be real thin ice.
Right. And the same holds true for D'Antoni. For D'Antonio.
Yep.
Okay. So, but let me just, I'm going to run this one right back to you with just a simple, I agree, but with the exception of just saying that Michigan State's front 7 is strong. Granted, they are absolutely, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of time for us to talk about it here, they're absolutely going to force us to throw. I think that's very obvious. And however, their front 7, particularly their front 4, has been decimated by, anything from, entering into the draft if you're Malik McDowell to, unfortunately, right on down to the police blotter. That is, pulled guys off the roster. Okay, so they are not strong there. Notre Dame is going to have to win on both sides of the line. When we're on offense, we need to win in the trenches. We need to get 6, 7, 8 yards on first down a half a dozen times. And the same holds true on our defense. The good news is, I think that we will. I absolutely think that we will. And it's also kind of funny looking back when if you were to say a month or 2 months ago how Notre Dame is going to fare on the defensive line, I didn't think many people had much confidence in them. But now I think that they do. And I don't think that it's a false confidence either. I think that Mike Elko has absolutely won the legit confidence in being able to make guys better than what they really show themselves
I think the Irish have played better defense than what anybody was thinking was coming into this season, just because we'd been used to what we'd seen, you know, in the prior 3 years of Brian Van Gorder.
I've been making a lot of money on that stock that I bought.
There you go.
Go ahead. Keep going.
But, you know, I would say this, that the Michigan State, maybe they don't have, I mean, they did graduate some horses, no doubt. But the reality of the matter is these guys traditionally have always been staunch up front. And it's just because of the way they recruit. I mean, a lot of recruits are in-state. They kind of know the mindset they're looking for on defense. And, you know, look, they didn't really play anybody in the first two games. They do have the luxury of a bye week. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare for us. So, you know, D'Antonio's not that bad of a coach. You give him 2 weeks, he's going to make some adjustments. You're going to see a few things that will give them the edge with having 2 weeks to prepare for us. So I think you're absolutely going to see that. The question will be, how do we respond? You know, do we just hold to our guns like we did the last game, continue to do what we do best and pound it? But, you know, I do think that they are going to come at us, and they're going to force Wimbush to throw the football. They will not there's no way. And if we do run the football in the first quarter, then that's a great sign, because you know what? It probably is going to be downhill all night. But I expect them to really come at us in the first quarter and dare us to throw the football. And it's going to be interesting to see how we respond to that. Now, we've started the last three games. The first three plays have been throwing the football all three games. I don't think we ran the football once in the first series of all three games. So it's going to be really interesting to see how we start the football game, knowing that they're most likely going to be eight in the box.
Yeah. No, I think that that's a – look, I don't think anybody is expecting anything different. I think Notre Dame is very clear that Michigan State is going to come out and load the box. They're going to force Brandon – now, to be more specific about what it is that they would like him to do, I'm not that familiar with the actual roster. I haven't watched a minute of Michigan State football this entire year, which has only been two games into, you know, non-Power 5 conference teams, granted. Now, also of note, they have not allowed an offensive touchdown. Again, granted, they haven't played stiff competition, but that's still saying something. But what's also, I think, important to mention is that they are number one in the country in third down conversions, defensive. I mean, however you call that statistic of not allowing the opposing team to successfully achieve a first down on third down conversions. I believe that there's something like 3 for 51, but they're number one in the country. Okay, yep. Now, going off of what it is that you just said about them loading the box, yes, that's going to be clear. What I think Notre Dame is going to have to do is they're going to have to actually get yards, quality yards, on first down, knowing that they are loading the box. In other words, they have to be able to gain yardage when the other team knows that we're running the football. Because where Brandon Wimbush is struggling the most, you know, to segue into his accuracy problems, which have been very well noted so far, he's been abysmal in the mid-range. He's had very good numbers in the short range, and also pretty darn good numbers, equitable with Kaiser and Golson with the deep ball. Okay, yeah. So where he's struggling is in that play action, in that, you know, that third and eight, or, you know, the dig routes over the middle. He's not effective there, and it's a concern. So, yes, you're right. Michigan State's going to do exactly what you just said.
Yeah, and I think what's going to be interesting is, are we going to try and isolate some of the field position and even the positioning on the field itself, whether you're on the right hash or the left hash? So I think that what you might see Saturday night, or at least I kind of hope we'll see, is alignments where the line blocking and the backfield are going to go one way, like to the left, and then Wimbush is going to pull it out and go to the right with maybe a lead blocker or two, just to isolate and make it a four-on-four game. Because I do think the one thing that we saw last week with Wimbush...
We did see that misdirection stuff. You're right.
He's the kind of guy that when you get in the open field, he can make a guy miss.
Yep.
And we haven't had quarterbacks like that. Golson, I think, was a good runner. Kizer was deceptively fast.
Yep.
I mean, I think a lot of people underestimated the speed at which he could pick up. But what neither one of those guys can do that Brandon can do, he has the ability to juke.
Yep.
And he did it Saturday against in a wide open. The guy had a wide open shot at him, and he juked him from like 5 yards away. So he's got that ability to do that. I think we need to do that coming out of the block. Now, I don't have a problem at all with starting out with three throws on Friday or a Saturday night.
I do. I do.
Do you?
Yes.
It's a good way to loosen things up because you know what, Chris? If you complete one of those three passes for a first down or even two of them, it really puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And the reason being is from a mindset standpoint, think about it. You're in the box. You're like, no way is Notre Dame going to run on us. Okay, great. We're not letting them run on us, but they're now moving the football in the air. And if we can't stop them moving the football in the air, we're in trouble. So I think the psyche and the mindset starts to play games with you when you put all your eggs in the basket of controlling the run, which I think they're going to do only because I think it's, I mean, what else do you do? I certainly don't expect...
Here's my question, though. At what point, with all that we've heard, everything from Harry Hiestand's competency to the experience that we brought back this year, at what point are we going to actually put pen to paper and say that we are going to enforce our will on the other team? If, number one, this is a Power 5 conference team, number two, a team that has made its bones, make no doubt about it, they've made their bones, at least under this head coach and throughout their own history, for crying out loud, that they have made their bones in the trenches, and they have an inexperienced defensive line and certainly a very inexperienced offensive line. At what point are we going to actually do that? We're going to force our will against a team that makes their bones doing so. If it's not,
yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, that's a good point. I just think that, you know, in the game of football, first off, there isn't really that much difference between Notre Dame and Michigan State. I mean, look, it's a 3-point Notre Dame spread, which, you know, you could argue, okay, that's really 6 points because typically you give 3 points to the home team. But the truth of the matter is there's really not that much difference between these teams. And college football is that way. The parity is a lot better than I think people really understand. That being the case, you want to attack their weaknesses. I mean, it's just the smart thing to do. You don't want to impose your will by saying, you know what, you're good against the run, but we don't care. We're just going to run. Because you know what? You can't do that. You have to go after their weakest points and exploit that, because over the course of time, you should win. Now, I'm not saying that you just absolutely throw the ball all night long. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that you have to pick your points. And I can see that, in my eyes at least, I could easily see Notre Dame coming out and saying, you know what, they're going to expect us to run the football because they think that we're going to do just that, impose our will on them. And if they get all fired up and stop us three runs in a row on the first series, what's that going to say to our guys? You know, what's the psyche of our team? And so I think with the inexperience, I mean, they got a true freshman starting at cornerback. Now, granted, I mean, we don't know what kind of talent they have. They may be young. They might be talented. I don't know. I mean, we'll find that out Saturday night. But it just seems like on paper, you got to attack what you think is their weakest points and, you know, and play to our strengths. Granted, running is our strength. I certainly think we're going to do it. I could easily see us trying to loosen them up a little bit and then, boom, start hammering them with our running game, and it really starts to go downhill from there.
Look,
it's gonna be interesting though. I mean, I think this is why college football is so exciting and so much fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to give the wrong impression saying that, you know, if they put 10 in the box, that I'm going to try and force something that's not there and try and fit a square peg into a round hole. Don't misunderstand what it is that I'm saying. I'm talking about more on the, again, I think I mentioned this the last time that you had me on. I'm very attentive to what it is that our play caller is calling when we're in three, where we are in third and two. Somewhere in that, is it a run or is it a pass? We really can't tell. Three, you know, fourth and one, are we trying to gimmick somebody? Or are we going to actually stuff it down and say, we're fine, we're just making this first down by 12 inches and you can't do anything about it? Okay.
Yeah, and I it seems logical that you'd think with two AP All-Americans on the left side, that's what you're going to go to. If it's fourth and inches or third and one and we need a first down, I find it hard to believe we wouldn't go over those guys just mano a mano. And if you're AP All-Americans, that means that it's very rare for you to face somebody who's going to outplay you. And in my mind, those guys are going to need to step up. I mean, McGlinchey and Nelson are going to have to step up. And you'd want that. You'd want to be able to say, hey, if you ever need 1 to 2 yards, come right up my back and I'll lead the way.
And when does that start is my point.
Yeah, I agree with you. We haven't done that up to this point. Now you could argue the second half of Boston College we did.
We did. Okay. But
a lot of that was Brandon Wimbush.
So. Okay. But here's, again, I know that a lot of people can get easily caught up in the idea that Notre Dame ran for 400 yards. I think somebody said something, by the way, that this was like a record in Notre Dame rushing yardage.
It had to do with the, I can't remember specifically what it was. It might have been the number of rushing attempts and per yard carry.
Might have been okay.
Yeah, anyway, something to that.
Whatever it was. Okay, but what I'm more interested in is, though, are those carries, and I'm talking about running now, carries. I'm not talking about those wide receiver screens or anything. I'm talking about whether it be Wimbush or Williams or Adams, which, by the way, speaking of Williams, he's going to absolutely, in my eyes, he absolutely needs at least 6 carries. Real carries,
yeah,
by the way.
I agree
not
with you.
Fourth quarter carries.
He even showed it in the BC game. I mean, he exploded from 10 yards out and nobody touched him. So you can't give him 2 or 3 carries a game.
No.
I think he needs 6, 7, maybe even as many as 8.
Well,
I mean, he's got,
I'm not even trying to say to try and, I know that, you know, some of you, I remember, you know, Ed, Easy Ed, was kind of praising Dexter Williams and saying he likes his running back short. I happen to very much agree. But I'm more talking about it from the standpoint of that you need to keep Josh Adams fresh also.
You need to get healthy at least for the whole season.
There's absolutely plenty of carries to go around. For those three guys, you don't need to get Brandon Wimbush any more than 8 or 9 carries in a game like this. Okay, I think if he's carrying the ball more than 10 times, you should be a little bit nervous. Just like the same way, if he's throwing the ball more than 25 times, you should be nervous.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the plays, the gains that I'm interested in seeing are those 4 to 9 yards. I want to see Notre Dame be able to get a chunk of yards. Those are demoralizing. Of course, it's worse that for the defense if we get a 30 or 40 or 50 yard carry or somebody goes 60 yards to the house. Of course. But at the same time, it's very demoralizing for a defense to say, oh man, 1st and 10, now it's 2nd and 3. Boom, another 5 yard carry, 1st down. 2nd and 2, another 1st down. 2nd and 6, hey, we actually did something, 8 yard carry. When are we going to be able to even see 3rd down? And when we do see 3rd down, we can't really do anything about it because it's inside of 2 yards and they're going to be able to guarantee themselves 2.5 yards. So
yeah.
I haven't seen that happen yet. And I've heard a lot of talk about it. Sure, it's been an improvement from last year to now and certainly over the course of the last few years in the Brian Kelly era overall. But I haven't seen that yet over 3 games. And there's been some opportunities for us to do that. And I would like to be able to see that on Saturday night. And again, I repeat, this is not at the expense of to not scratch where it itches, which is basically what it is that you were saying. So if the defense is giving you something, then you got to take it. If they're stacking and putting 9 in the box and putting their corners out on an island or making it really, really vulnerable for their safeties, then go ahead. You can put the ball in the air and loosen them up that way. But
yeah,
I still
exactly.
want to be able to see us do something that the other team is expecting, yet they still can't stop it. And I haven't seen that yet.
Yep. All right, before we close off, what's your prediction and why?
This is a tough one, and I definitely am not going to have much about the why. I do think that we're going to come out on top. I just think that, well, I'll give you my numbers, and I'll give you the why. I don't know if you're going to like the why. It's not going to be very colorful. But I can say I'm going to go with something like a 24-17. I think that Notre Dame is basically just has a stronger morale with their program right now. I think Brian Kelly is less stale than Mark D'Antonio. I think Mark D'Antonio is just, he's stale when you take off the wrapper at this point. I think his era has, he's peaked and he's on the way down. And he's probably soon to be on the way out. Harbaugh in town, he's struggling. He's going to struggle against Ohio State. I don't see where he's going to even be able to get his easy wins. I think 500 football is going to where you're going to see Michigan State. Judging by what it is that their expectations are, I don't see Mark D'Antonio back leading his team out on the sideline in 2019.
Yeah, you could be right about that. I think you're right. And I got a similar prediction, although I think it's a little bit more. I'm going to go 34-24 Notre Dame.
34 points!
Yeah, I do think we're going to put 34 up, but I do think we're going to come from behind in the second half. Okay. I literally think we're going to be behind starting the second half kickoff. And again, I think it's because they've had 2 weeks to prepare. I think D'Antonio is the kind of guy to have a couple tricks up his sleeve. He's probably seen enough film to see a few things, and he'll exploit us on that. We'll make the second half adjustments, and I do think that we will impose our will in the fourth quarter and basically overwhelm them with just a little bit too much talent, and I think it's just going to be enough to carry the day. Michigan State will then press, and then we'll pick up a turnover.
You know, one thing that you just mentioned right there about having tricks up his sleeve, the two times that he's pulled out a trick up his sleeve, we've come out on the short end.
Successful. Yeah,
no, but I'm saying that he's beaten Notre Dame.
No,
those are the only two times. The fake field goal, and last year, by having that two-point conversion coming off their first touchdown, which we were chasing the entire game.
Yeah, no, it did. I thought it changed the total complexion of the game.
Yeah.
And he's that kind of guy, so I'm expecting that. But I just think that we're going to pull it out in the second half for a lot of the reasons you just said. I mean, I do think that Brian Kelly has got these guys in a situation where we're a lot more locked in than we were last year.
Yep.
For all kinds of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, good. Thanks a lot, Chris, for doing this show. That was nice of you to step in at the last second.
A pleasure. I mean, of course.
Very,
it's
very nice.
A pleasure to talk ND Vol, especially
that's
the
right.
Game.
Yeah, good deal. All right, we're going to leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Chris Travers, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.